Do you think we ought to go with this one? It's the preconceived notion that they had all the time. It's very effective, Steve, and it's just sad.
That's the music. Hang on, hour one is gone. Hour two, Jerry, Mike, hang on the line. We take your calls next hour.
Just didn't kill each other. Instead, they gave with all that they had to give. Made sure that their brothers and sisters were clothed and fed. Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Texas Radio. Today's date is August 13, 23. I don't have any echo. Who cares? Hour two of the show. Well, let's just keep it all rolling. Got a couple people waiting on the phone lines if you want to call in. Wow, I haven't said this phone number for a long time. 512-248-8252. Or a wasp. Sorry, we're being invaded over at my house. So while I take care of that, let's go to Jerry in Chicago. How's it going, Jerry?
Good morning, gentlemen. A couple of points. I was going to ask if you guys ever heard of a zero-point magnetic generator. It was first invented by Nikola Tesla. And the way it works is you repel and attract magnets on an axle, which is on this generator, and that is your power source. As long as you get it up to about 2,000 RPM spinning, it'll hold that and create electricity. Once you pull off that, let's say it's a drill that spins at 2,000 RPM. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I have heard about it. There are so many different things out there. You know, folks, you want to look something up interesting, look up the Free Energy Device Handbook. I think you probably can still get it on the Internet, and it's got hundreds and thousands of patents. They've got magnetic motors. They've got static motors. They've got, just all these different technologies that have possibilities. Have any of them been brought to fruition? No, because they won't allow it to be brought to fruition. But yes, I understand exactly, pretty much what you're talking about.
Okay, and your last caller, Dave, who was talking about not wanting a smart meter and everything, I've got a bank of 5 meters outside my back door of my apartment. Yeah, one is for the whole unit, and each individual residency has its own meter. I made up, it was 4x4 boards, and I got copper screens from my brother-in-law who demoed all his windows, and I said, can you save me the copper screens? I says, I'm not going to turn them in for copper. I says, I'm going to use them for something. And I did. I made a double mesh, stapled it over the top of this board, and I made it to where I could just go out there and lay it across all 5 meters. Next morning, ComEd is here because these meters ping every 40 seconds.
Right.
They lied to us when they told us this. And I installed smart meters for about 6 months. And I'll tell you what, when they can't ping back to the tower or the pole or whatever they're trying to send their information to every 40 seconds, you burn these meters up. And these meters are approximately $550 a piece, times five. So you just hit them up for $2,750. And I only had to put this thing on from about 8 p.m. until about 9 p.m. once it was dark, and then go outside, take it off. You don't leave this on there for the whole day, let's put it that way, because they're going to come over there and they're going to say, hey, that guy purposely did this. So, you know, they got to question themselves. Hey, why the hell would these things burn up? Did we notice anything out of the ordinary except that these things weren't pinging? And they're not going to get out here at 8 o'clock at night within an hour to try to figure out what the hell the problem is. So that was one of the things I wanted to mention since I called
Jerry,
in.
Jerry, out here on my ranch, I did the same thing. You know, my power pole is about 60 yards away from where I am right now. You know, it comes off and the lines feed to the barns and everything. I went out and I put in, and I encased my smart meter in aluminum screening, screwed it to the post, and ran a ground wire down, you know, and connected it to the ground wire coming down the post, you know, into the ground. And this is when I was working 8 to 5, you know, doing construction. I came home one day, and that whole screen was completely removed, and the cattle didn't come up and tear it off. Someone came out and took it off and took it away. Because,
did you
because
put
it
back
was not
on?
Allowing my meter to ping to the mothership.
That's good.
By chance, you wouldn't have happened to notice that they put a different meter in, which would have meant a different serial number.
I didn't really notice that. No, I did not take down the serial numbers, and I don't know if I burnt the meter out, but it was not being allowed to ping to the mothership.
That's right, and I bet you burned it out. So when they came out there, they removed the device that you put on the meter, and they put a new meter in. And they probably told you can't do that. Well, I bought one off of eBay. I can't remember the price, maybe $80. And it shielded your house from this wave. Well, it also burned up the meter. And ComEd came out there, took it off, and I called up ComEd that day. And I said, hey, where is my property? Oh, sir, you can't put one of those on your meter. I said, but you stole my property. Now, you got a choice. You either give me my property back, and I will put it back on the meter, because I don't want a smart meter. Or you could just send me the $75, and we'll call it quits. They took it off my bill. They said, okay, there's this reduction in your bill of $75 for next month for you burning up a $550 meter. So you guys figure it out. This is the chicanery that we're dealing with. Hey, I wanted to mention something, too. This just happened to me Friday at work, and I'm a foreman. I got an apprentice right out of the apprenticeship school. And he had to walk away from me because I yelled at him about picking up the pace. I said, this isn't rocket science. I didn't give you this one job, which is about a 15-minute job, to spend the entire day on, okay? I gave you everything you needed to come in here and put this thing up, and you installed two of them with me 2 days ago. So it's not far from your memory. I said, and it didn't take 15 minutes in the room. So, that upset him. So he walked away from me for about an hour and a half. Another journeyman came down. He said, hey, have you seen Eric? I said, I thought he was with you. And he says, no. Maybe he's with Clarence. Oh, okay. You can give Clarence a call and find out what he's got him doing. Well, hour and a half goes by, and he comes back, and he goes, hey, I'm sorry I walked away, but I had an emotional episode. And I felt sick, and I had to go calm down and everything else like that. I said, Jesus, what is an emotional episode? And he goes, well, it was caused because you yelled at me. I'm kind of fragile.
You
and
did it to
I,
me.
Or Gary, how about this? I've worked construction, and as time has gone on, it's like, you know, the boss will leave to go, you know, get some more boards or whatever we need, you know, to build what we're doing or, you know, whatever we find to repair. And I'll look around, and it's like I'm the only one working. I start walking around, and I find one guy sitting on the steps looking at his smartphone. I find another guy behind a tree on his smartphone. You know, out of an hour's work, they might be working 30 minutes. The rest of the time, they're on their goddamn smartphone. And it just and I got mad. It's like I told my boss, I said, you need to stay around here and watch these sons of bitches or tell them that when you're working for me, you're working for me. You're not on your goddamn smartphone, you know, on Facebook or something else. You know, it pissed me off, and these guys freaking got mad at me. It's like, what'd you go tell the boss we were doing it? I said, because we're supposed to be working, damn it. You know?
Oh, Jerry, you know, that just, I have a story about it, and I'll hold that back for somebody else to hear. But, man, doesn't that piss you off? They don't do their job. They walk off the job and come back and said, it's your fault I walked off the job. What?
You know,
what the hell?
I was trying to figure that one out the whole ride home, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, how could I have handled this any differently? Man, I broke it down.
You can, the son of a bitch. I'm sorry.
Send him an email. Yeah.
Yeah. Give him a bad approach. When he came back, I should have just told him, I says, okay, next time you have an emotional episode and you got to walk away for an hour and a half and you don't tell me, you keep walking. You park your crap right back in your trunk of your car. You drive back to the school, and you tell them you just got fired. Okay? That's what I should have said to
him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this kid isn't going to make it. And I was told that about 4 weeks ago by my boss. It was a one-day job. Didn't have much to do. And I had 90% of it already done. And he says, don't spend a whole lot of time with them. Don't teach him a whole bunch of stuff because I don't think he's going to make it. Because everybody else that he worked with was asked, okay, how's this new kid? And everybody, you know, rolled their eyes. Nobody wants to turn, especially a union trade. Nobody wants to roll their eyes and say, you know, hey, listen, this guy's no good. Get
because
rid of him.
Jerry, some things you can't do working from home. How do you do reconstruction on a house or build something sitting at home on the internet? You can't do it. You have to actually be out there physically doing it. And the whole world has just gone insane, man.
Jerry, thanks for the call. You know, I got Mike in Kentucky. He's been hanging on just as long as you've been hanging on.
Yeah, let Mike in. All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for being out there, man.
Oh, man. It's a terrible story, Jerry. Terrible. Anyways, thanks for it. Mike in Kentucky, what's going on, man? Thanks for calling.
Scott, yeah, Captain. Self-destruct in 90 seconds.
Over.
I take full responsibility for the giant space slug eating the space station. I take full responsibility for the greedy Ferengi financially taking over Starfleet with debt. I take full responsibility for Edward Bernays killing Grandma with Liberty torches. For the 80 years of CIA manipulation of women, I take full responsibility.
You better watch your mouth, Mike. I know you're going to church pretty soon. You better watch your mouth.
Don't say Ferengi. Don't say
Ferengi. It's my fault. Yeah, there's quite a suicide rate among men and the military and stuff, so we got to figure out how to unwarp their minds so they'll at least stick around long enough to say, I told you so, you know?
Man, you know, I don't know.
How about taking care of our country and leaving the rest of the world alone?
Well, I'm just saying we got to do something if the average individual was to listen to your show for the last hour, they'd probably want to kill themselves.
Know,
we got to figure out how to stop.
I'm a black pill. I'm a black pill.
Maybe
friend,
we need a new format.
A new format.
What was that? You talked. You both of y'all talked over top of each other. I couldn't hear either one of you.
Just call me Alan Kevorkian. Okay.
Not that important.
Yeah.
Alan Kevorkian. I actually a few years ago had some private investigator. You know, he was gaslighting me for years about the local telephone crap that we had happening. He was trying to say that it was the stupid country bumpkins and their two-way radios at the water department, you know, and I'm like, yeah, how the hell is that going to do that from five counties away with a different phone company? That's bullshit. And the same thing about the FCC blowing me off, saying it was Part 15 interference, and I had to accept it, right? So this guy, this private investigator, you know, he's an ex-cop or whatever, he tried to tell me one time, well, your news is so bad, the suicide rate in this area has went way up.
and you think it's me doing that, about it? Society?
Yeah. If nobody knows about it, how are you supposed to do anything about it, right? The trick is just not to let it get you so down that you're ready to do yourself in because you've been gaslighted into feeling like there's nothing that can be done or you're going to be the next Trump supporter that gets a SWAT team on you, right?
Yep.
I guess.
I mean, so, yeah, you know, throw down Biden. I mean, what the heck? Eventually, I think even the dumbasses will figure it out that these SWAT teams need to be stopped and we get a group of jerks coming out and telling them to back the bleep off, you know?
Yeah, but you're using logic in today's world, Mike, and that doesn't really work. I mean, that's one of the big problems. No,
isn't there something out of Nazi Germany where that guy said, and I'm not, you know, I'm just giving it for context. I'm not going to argue about whether Hitler was good or bad, but there was some guy that said, you know, first they came for the homosexuals, and I didn't say anything because I wasn't homosexual.
Sure.
Then they came for the Down syndrome people, and I didn't say anything because none of my family's got Down syndrome, you know. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't say anything. And finally they came for me, and there's nobody left to speak up for me, you know.
Right. You know, I wasn't a Cathar. I wasn't a Merovingian. I wasn't a Jesuit. You know, it's like I'm just me, and eventually, yes, they do get to you, my friend. It works its way down the ladder.
Yeah. Well, and so, yeah, so eventually you got to go, wait a minute, this has got to be, you know, somebody's got to be putting a stop to this. It might as well be me.
Mike, this is something I wanted to bring up, you know, last week's show. You know, our friend Amit, you know, who was born and raised in India, you know, somehow I doubt that Amit, you know, calls himself a Christian, but Amit listens to our show, and he's kind of hard to understand because he's got a very heavy Indian accent. But, you know, Amit has called me personally at home, and I've had conversations with him. You know, I would rather have Amit at my side when the crap hits the fan than I would, you know, any of these, you know, mega church preachers, you know. That call themselves Christians. I would rather have a Mitt at my side than anyone.
Just look at the example of Hurricane Harvey. What's that guy's name that took over the former Houston Astros baseball stadium? His wife has gotten in trouble on planes and stuff. Or it was a what was his name? Ovaltine. the chocolate Ovaltine guy, the feel-good Christianity dude. When Hurricane Harvey hit Houston, they had stacks of supplies in that place. They wouldn't let anybody in there.
Right.
Yeah. What a joke.
Shipments of water coming in to the Superdome or whatever it was. You know, they were stopping people trying, you know, shipping, you know, supplies in to keep the people, you know, safe and healthy and everything.
Ovaltine. People buy his books and send him all kinds of money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you look at
here, you know, who has a Star of David in the entrance to his mega church. You know, he's got the Star of David there. You know, the Texas Toad. I forgot his name, but
Star of Renfran, you mean?
The first
martyr, Stephen. You know, they stoned him to death after he got onto him for worshiping idols. You know, oh well, shut you up. But, John Hagee and the Christians United for Israel.
John Hagee. We call him the Texas Toad. John Hagee, thank you.
Pick a church, man. Are you Israeli or Christian? I mean, what?
Israeli Christian, maybe.
No.
Side of Hindu.
They claim the label, but no, I don't think they are. I mean, I think they're Antichrist because the Jewish hardcore rabbis, they don't accept him as Messiah, so, I mean, that's about as third-grade simple as it gets, that they're Antichrist.
get this. In this small, you know, used to be, you know, Catholic and Lutheran town, now every year in the Christmas thing, we've got a giant menorah, and it is donated by the Rabbi Schmierson Foundation in San Antonio.
Oh, I heard an interesting debate, a replay of a show yesterday, and it's, you know, RBN has went a lot of different
Chris
directions
Switzer's
since Stadtmiller's
yeah, gone,
show, and talking, you were talking about space aliens earlier. And
yeah.
I don't think he wanted to allow that, you know, those rabbit trails because you get into so much junk, but it wasn't the mission of RBN to talk about space aliens and unprovable stuff. It was more about trying to move, things politically in a better direction. Because I mean, really, if we've got civilizations that have unimaginable technology, what can we do about it? You know, but we can try to affect our local Republican executive committee and have them run the right person against the weirdos that used to be Democrats, you know. I mean, we can do stuff about that. We can affect the local school board, you know. But what can we do about, unimaginable technology from space aliens? Not a thing. Not nothing. You know, so we can talk about that.
You know, Mike, one thing that comes to mind.
Never get anywhere, never accomplish anything.
Mike, one thing that comes to mind, you talk about provable and unprovable, a guy named Jordan Maxwell, who was giving speeches at universities before I was born, like 1960, I think he said that the first time he gave a speech at a university. And whether you believe in his alien stuff or not, he talked about the secret societies and the special people. You know, the Jesuits, the Cathars, the Merovingians, the Knights Templar, all these secret societies. It gives you a special status, and you are a special person. And, this is what's going on in this world, secret societies. The Council
of
Foreign
Relations,
the
Lodge,
the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Tampa.
We can name them off. There's freaking dozens of them. But the local Shriners, Echo Canyon burned down because you might as well be obsolete. You've got 5G tracking everybody and everything you're doing. So they can profile, like the secret societies used to profile people's characters and assign them a task in a community. Do the community policing work? That's all out the way. That's all obsolete.
And now I actually have someone that I know who is a son of a guy that I know who works at a fusion center in Austin.
Yeah.
When he told me he might go to work for a fusion center, I just started laughing and I said, "My friend, I said, if you go to work at a fusion center, you're probably not going to have to hit too many keys to find my name somewhere." Mm.
Well, he just needs to in training to be able to shovel the brimstone in hell.
But I did give them my copy of Henry Ford's The International Jew, Volume 1, and in the conversation I had with him after that, he was like, because this young man, he went to school and he majored in like international politics or something, and he got free trips to Israel twice. And he went to Russia twice. Mm-hmm. And I said, "What did you think about the people? Not the government." I said, "The people." And he said, "In Russia and in Israel, the people were good." And I said, "Well, what did you think about the governmental situation?" And he said, "Well, I did have some problems with both of those."
I had a guy offer me a free trip to Israel.
He's got to live in this world and exist and have an income,
I had a guy offer me a free trip to Israel if I could get to New York, as part of a ministry, and he's a frequent listener to RBN. I said, "Well, I'll probably end up getting arrested for preaching the gospel on the street corner, handing out tracts." He goes, "Oh, yeah, that offer I forgot about."
I don't know, Mike. Just wear a rainbow wig, a tutu, and some fishnet stockings, and you probably get along just great.
Yeah, there's free speech in Israel, at least as much as there is in the U.S. As long as you're not on Twitter.
I don't know.
RBN's got some free speech.
This world is so twisted, man. It's so twisted.
Yeah, as long as you don't talk about the cattle industry, there's free speech on RBN.
Hey, thanks for the call there, Mike. We've got a couple other callers in line. I want to jump on them real quick before the break. We'll talk to you later, man.
Thank you, Mike. Call. Yeah. Hey, Mike's a good man. He's very intelligent.
Go ahead, Alan. Yeah, we can bring him on.
Thank you, Mike, for the call. I know you're very intelligent. You're questioning, and Mike's getting ready to go to church, and he might actually be a member of a local church that still has some humanity to it, some local community. And I know Lark's going to hate me for saying that word, but the people around you, there are still good people, and to be around good people is not a bad thing. Anyway, let's get other callers, Steve. Sorry.
All right. By the way, 512-248-8252. We've got the whole tail end of the show coming up. But first, let's go to Lynn. I think she's in America because she says she's in hell.
Yeah, camping in hell.
She's right next to the belly of the beast. She's kind of like a multi-chambered stomach. You know,
I'm camping in hell in my house. I just washed my hair with 2 gallons of bottles of water. I'm not a happy camper, let me tell you. My idea of roughing it, I'd want an RV at this point in life, you know? Who thought I'd end up here? Joel Osteen was who he was thinking of. There's a good website for anybody who's a Christian and doesn't like Christian Zionism, WHTT.org, WHTT, lowercase, .org. It stands for We Hold These Truths, and they've done segments on Hagee and et cetera. It's a great website with good short videos, things like that. The guy was on with Steve Elkins about a month ago on a Monday night, maybe 6 weeks ago now. You know, damn meters and these stupid cars. You know how much water? Well, one, out in California, after all of the accidents they've had with cars, you know, those autonomous damn vehicles. I had one years ago because, remember, they just love to, you know, try out their DARPA crap on vets. They're a nightmare. But the thing stopped in an intersection, and the emergency people couldn't get it to move. The guy was standing in the intersection screaming at the car. It wouldn't move. But when the batteries start to go down, they catch fire. Oh, and the smart meters, after my cousin had a smart meter put on his house, he had 2 house fires. They're not UL listed. Okay? None of the meters are UL listed. So they haven't gone through any testing.
That's like the vaccine manufacturers don't have any liability for what their products, the damage that they do. Yeah, not UL listed, which, I mean, do you trust UL anyway? But, yeah, but I know what you're talking about, Lynn.
But at least it went through some kind of testing. You know, those meters, and half the time, they don't even cut off the power to your house when they stick damn thing on. I kept them off in my house for years, and then somehow my sign fell off, and they went ahead and replaced it when I wasn't watching. And, I mean, I'm getting blasted, but every so many of them are a hub. So all the smart meters actually send their data to the hub, and then the hub sends it to the next bigger hub. Yep. And my neighbor next door is a hub. I got near his, I mean, like within 8 feet of it, and was like, oh, dear God. I mean, I could feel it because I'm electrically sensitive. But that's the thing people should be looking at the fire in Maui is... They said that it was caused by electrical wire coming down. But people should start looking at what houses. I bet all those houses had smart meters.
And there is this radiation coming off these smart meters, Lynn. A friend of Ingrid's that moved down here to Kerrville, you know, she stayed with me for a little bit, wasn't real comfortable because she's trying to get away from everything and blah, blah, blah. But she had an EMF meter, and we walked over to my smart meter about 60 yards where I'm at now. And like every 3 minutes, it would like go down to almost zero. And like every 3 minutes, it would jump up to like 875,000. You know, when it was pinging. And so yes, is there radiation coming off of them? Yes.
Can I tell you exactly what it's doing
to us? No, but it's not good. I can tell you that.
Yeah, they cause cancer.
Yeah.
It's the worst kind of radiation. You know, it's the same thing with your cell phones. It's the worst radiation. There is no such thing as non-ionizing radiation.
It's
a lot.
And your ear gets hot, you know. It's non-ionizing, so it can't be harmful,
There's
right?
no such thing as non-ionizing. It's that they didn't
I know.
The meters weren't measuring, and they know that. And besides,
the way they test it is on this big plastic head
filled with water with no signal going to it.
Hang on, that's the music.
But the thing about lithium batteries is when they catch fires, the amount of water you have to use to put out the fire.
Hang on, Lynn.
We'll be right back with Republic of Texas Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back, folks. Hello?
Yeah, I had some problems. You're good.
Okay, there you are. I heard the submarine sound. I figured your Skype dropped.
Yeah, well, it got all fuzzy. Lynn, are you still there?
I am, but I'm sure you have other people waiting, so I don't want to hold you up. I just really appreciate you guys, and I appreciated the chuckle I needed it this morning after camping here in hot hell with no air conditioning or water.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're kind of free right this second. But, you know, thank you for your call. You know,
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lynn.
I didn't think smart meters would be a big part of the story this year, night or today. But, you know, all these stories, you know, how many years have we been listening to smart meter hell stories? I mean, it's pretty screwy, huh, Alan?
Yeah, smart meter health, vaccine health, you know. I can remember going to grade school, and I wasn't around in a room full of, I'm sorry to say, you know, babbling children, you know. They were all basically like me, you know, fairly thin. We had one fat kid in the class. His name was Robert Diaz. Most children were healthy. You know, no one had peanut allergies. They didn't have asthma. They didn't have earaches and this and that. They weren't on Ritalin, you know. We were normal children, and then 1986, it's like the vaccine companies got reduced from
any damage that their vaccines could do and what's happened since then. You know, along with the rest of the chemical revolution, Roundup being brought in, you know, it's all these freaking different chemicals, you know, that are in the foodstuffs, you know, the genetic manipulation of the plants, food science, chemistry, you know. It tastes like a banana, but it's not really a banana. It's just a bunch of chemicals we threw together that makes it taste like a banana. But it's not really a banana. You know, I mean, you know, we've been attacked from so many avenues, you know.
Where's
the water,
recourse?
The food, everything.
Right.
Mentally.
Right. These people have grown up in this environment that is not harmful, you know, and as I go off on how much I don't like county and city workers, right, and then you tell me that Delphi is a lot responsible for them acting like, you know, morons, and I go, okay, I can get that to a certain degree, right, but, you know, the kids in the school right now are the subject of everything you just talked about. And it's scad. It's sad. It's depressing. But,
Right. The parents send their kids to the school system because supposedly they're sending them to the smart people. And if the smart people teach them how to suck a penis before they're 5 years old, what do you think? It's like, well, my parents are just crazy because the smart people in school told me it was just good for a little boy to learn how to suck a penis when he's 5 years old. I mean, what do you think?
That
you know,
is
this
true,
has been going on. It's been a long-term, long process, my friend. And
I hear
just,
you. I don't know.
It's sad, man. Disgusting.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the phones. We're both too jaded. Jerry in Kansas. Are you jaded?
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hey,
of course she's jaded. She's my queen.
Back to Maui.
Okay.
How do you have a flash drought on an island?
in the tropical zone.
Yeah.
That normally has like 400 inches of rainfall. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we got all sorts of stupid things, right? What do they got? Atmospheric rivers nowadays? Crimean atmosphere.
I'll tell you what I think's going to be going on, because I listened to this guy that Dave Hodges interviewed that lives in California, and he got his place burned down in the fires, and he was saying that that at least on your house, all of that is considered hazardous waste, and when you clean it up, you have to take it to the hazardous waste part of the dump. And he did that. He had a couple of different lots, and he did that on one of the lots, and he got his hazardous waste in 20 bags. And he said it was right next to the regular dump. You know, you just had to pay more.
And Sherry, this is like, what do you think they've been doing with fluoride for all these years? You know, the byproduct of aluminum manufacturing and fertilizer production. You know, it's like if they took it to a hazardous waste dump, they'd have to pay hundreds of billions of dollars a year to put it into a hazardous waste dump. But they figured, no, we'll just put it in your drinking water, and it's all good. It's all safe and effective, right?
Right, and it's my understanding, on these hazardous waste dump parts, they're supposed to drill these, have a lot of wells around the place or sensors so they can check the water, make sure that it's not leaching into the water table and all this stuff. But anyway, the other thing is, he said that if people are, and he didn't have a real fancy home up there. It sounded like he had like a Morton building that they turned into a house, you know, and I've seen that done, and that can be real good, and it's certainly cheaper than a fancy home. But he, if you have a nice home up there, and then you pay to have somebody else clean it up, he said that eats up all your insurance money. And then when you come in to get permits and stuff, they gig you on that, and a lot of people aren't going to be able to rebuild. And I'll bet that's what they're going to do in Maui. They're going to get those people where they can't afford to rebuild, and if they don't find other buyers like Oprah, they're going to, and they say they turn it into back to the government, and they make a reserve or something out. Well, anything that like that, they can borrow, the government can borrow money against that, you know.
And Sherry, another thing, you say that, you know, they set up these monitoring wells, you know, and everything else. Who was in charge of these licensed monitoring wells? It was Anthony Fauci.
Really?
The whole scientific process has been bastardized, and it's been controlled, and there is no truth comes out of it whatsoever. Unless you do it yourself and you have enough knowledge to be able to do it.
Well, I've learned something this morning on the program. Like, I didn't know that all these smart meters had a lithium battery. Now, my meter, it's on a pole away from the house, and it's still analog, but they read it through the power line. But is yours analog or digital?
Well, the one that's out there now is digital, but you know, Sherry, you know, we heard for years that, you know, even with just the analog, you know, the 60 hertz cycles, you know, going through, that could turn your outlets in your wall into a microphone if they wanted to, you know, through using carrier frequencies. See, most people are very ignorant of technology. They don't understand that your electricity just isn't the electricity that comes out of your wall. There can be carrier signals put onto it. They can use it for various different, you know, technologies. You know, everything has gone way beyond what most people even begin to understand.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I don't understand it. But, you know, it's it really sucks. But anyway,
We're in a lot of trouble, Sherry. Yeah, we're in a lot of trouble. You know, as a global population at this point in time with the digital age, yeah, we're in a lot of trouble.
That's all I had this morning, guys. Thanks.
Okay. Let me look at my notes real quick, unless somebody wants to come in.
I'm just glad I was able to make Sherry a little happier with my black pill.
Hang on. This is a treat. I guess you coaxed him in there, Alan. Larkin, Texas, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Not too bad, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Larkin.
You know, I got to tell you, I didn't get on the internet until 2004. And I must say, reluctantly so. But one thing that I did, I got involved in that Ron Paul stupid stuff, like in 2006, 7, and 8, you know, when he had thrown his hat in the ring the first time. And I remember I was starting to question these so-called meetup group leaders, if you recall. And I started looking at these money bombs and who were the people behind it? Where were the big sites? One was called
Daily Paul.
Yeah, the Daily Paul. You know, you may not remember, but they immediately had a sponsor, which was kind of rare for these, you know, shotgun websites that were intended to attract all these young, enthusiastic, first-time political activists, etc. Because that's what most people that were involved with the Ron Paul movement were. They were quite naive, let's face
it,
including myself, and I was a middle-aged man. But be that as it may, there was one of the major sponsors was somebody pushing something called socionomics. S-O-C-I-O. Socionomics,
yeah.
Like economics.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they're still alive today. But essentially, I scratched my hand and said, wait a minute, this sounds like socioeconomics. And sure enough, what they were doing was they were trying to train people to play the stock market. Okay, because this was a thing with Ron Paul people. You know, they were enthusiastic supporters of laissez-faire capitalism and the like. But I noticed that there were people of the left and the right in that Ron Paul movement. And then I started looking at these meetup group leaders, because they had that technology from out of New York that a lot of people were communicating with. And I remember the people were people like a young attorney, a Christian with three children, nice-looking guy, and said that, you know, he was a good attorney. Another guy was, he looked like a rabbi, about 5 foot four, had six kids, and he was a big shot tech guy for like JCPenney's or something like that. Another guy was selling silver. That was his whole thing. Another guy was into marketing. He was there to, you know, gather names and, you know, win friends and influence people. But I started looking at this one guy looked like a rabbi where he went to college. And I noticed, then I started looking at the other colleges. If you looked at the mission statements in those years, they all were talking about global citizens and change agents, all of them.
Yeah.
It was remarkable. And then I started looking at the curriculum, which didn't look like anything like the curriculum that I experienced in 1972. You know what I'm saying? And anyway, I'm just going to conclude with what I'm going to say but with this, if you don't mind. You know, you don't have to identify Luciferians or Satanists or Antichrist or any kind of ethnic group. You don't have to talk about Jews and non-Jews and what's up with this in the zoo and all that other kind of stuff. When you know what a communitarian is, according to their definition, this is what you come up with. And this is something that you can find at my website. It's simply tinyurl.com/LarkinTexas. And the title is simply Communitarianism, First Things First. It's under selected or random quotes. And here's the quote. You got to do a little visual here in your mind. The biggest problem in the world is the you, capital Y-O-O, of which there are three principal types, to wit. Number one, the yous. That would be capital E-W-E, yous. Then there are the yous, capital Y-E-W, little letter S. And then finally, number three, the capital Y-O-U, yous. All yous, remember, Y-O-O, all caps, little letter S, are communitarians. Because most Americans today are communitarians, the first question to ask yourself is, which sort of a you are you? Remember, capital Y.
Whether they realize it or not, Lark, yes. One is an animal, one is a tree, and one is you.
Yeah, you may know? I finish, Alan?
Yes, I'm sorry.
In one breath, please? And yap all you want,
yes,
after
sir.
That.
Go for it.
Are you a U, capital E-W-E, which is a bleeding female sheep regularly milked and sheared before finally being led to slaughter? A capital J-E-W of a people apart, some say a separate species altogether, but pronounced capital Y-E-W like a Mexican pronounces the word yob. Remember Freddie Prinze, Alan, as in job? Or just a plain old capital Y-O-U-U, the vaunted good corporate citizen. Now, that tells you what the problem in the world is today, because in a system of communitarianism, the people are pitted against themselves. Look at the people that set those fires out in Hawaii, you know, or in the bushfires in Australia. The people that are spraying us with chemtrails, the people that are delivering the fluoride to the water treatment plant since 1945.
Right.
Now we understand what the problem is. That we've got, you know, people in the medical industry that are brainwashed in medical school, attorneys that go to law school, and all they learn about is, civil and criminal procedure, rules of court,
rules of evidence and case law. They don't know a fucking thing about the law. And this is what's happened to America. We have all been made criminals. If you even participate in this system, you're a criminal. And the only hope that we have is that we extricate from this system as rapidly and as rationally, as pragmatically as possible. If you're involved in the tech field today, are you a friend or a foe of the American people? If you're a doctor, a nurse, or a lawyer, a public school teacher, a university professor, who are you? What are you? Probably, more than likely, you're a communitarian. So forgive me for saying so, but I didn't make up the word.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Lark. Really appreciate your call.
Yeah. No, yeah. Nice. No, it's like, I was going to say, you know, what they've got, everyone is looking for a savior. You know, he was talking about Ron Paul, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone's looking for a savior. Look into yourself. You know, it's like, you know, I'm battling a baby deer. If you've ever had your skin licked off by a baby deer. Everyone's looking for a savior. You know, Ron Paul, you know, when he was asked the question, it's like, why, you know, what happened to your campaign? You know, it's like, man, you had the money bombs. You had all this money coming in. You had people believing you. And I think it was Alex Jones interviewing it, and he goes, oh, no. He said, if I would have won, they would have killed me. You know, did he put out good information? You know, but you know, he was also in Congress for 20 years. You know, he was Dr. No. You know, if he was really a threat, they would have killed him like JFK or someone else who had the power to disband the CIA and everything else and RFK, you know, to, you know, go against the mafia and et cetera, you know. If he was really a threat, they would have killed him, and he understood that. And that's why he just kind of stopped doing anything he could to become president of the United States, you know, when he had the money rolling in and the support behind him.
I disagree, Alan. I think the man was a gatekeeper. I think he was playing a part,
yes.
And I think he was an idiot.
Did he speak truth? Yes. But was he a gatekeeper? Yes. I don't trust him further than I can throw my baby deer, which actually is a pretty good ways. But
the greatest lie of them all is the lie of omission. So
yes.
When you think about what Ron Paul left out, I'm going to tell you, the guy was he was playing a role in a psyop.
I know
he must have had 40, 50 members of his own family that were in on the grift. They were just pocketing that money left and right.
I know, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
With Lark, you know, with any of our callers, we could talk about this stuff for months or years, you know, and not ever get to the actual bottom of everything that we understand. You know, some of us out there really understand what's going on and how manipulated we've been. And, you know, Lark calls it communitarianism. I call it evil bastardism, you know. I don't like to, you know, give a name to any collective. I just see what's out there.
Evil bastardism.
Alan, with all due respect, I didn't make up this name. I didn't make up this word.
I know you did.
The evidence is everywhere you look. There are millions of words attached to the subject. It just doesn't seem like anybody on RVN gives a shit.
Well, no, Lark, I do. You know, I've told you this story before. I was sitting here watching RT television, you know, RT America when they were on, and they were interviewing some UN representative, and she said, I'm sure what we achieved here today will make all the communitarians out there very happy. And I said, what? You know, the first time I'd actually heard that term espoused on any network that I've ever heard. She said, I'm sure what we accomplished here today will make all the communitarians out there very happy. You know, and you know, they didn't replay it again. I heard it one time, and I was waiting for a replay. They never replayed that, so I couldn't record it.
Yeah, if you don't want to read that, you can simply go to YouTube and type in communitarianism first things first. And my friend Teresa, who is a serious medical researcher, a science researcher, very smart, she'll read it for you. I'm out, guys.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Lark.
Well, Alan hasn't gotten to the internet yet, so maybe in 2034.
Hey, hey, real quick here because generally at 9:56 Central Time I get cut off because that's when I call the station. Before I get cut off, I'll say thank you for listening, folks. Take care out there. I do love y'all out there. Y'all the only thing to keep me sane. So go ahead, Steve.
Hey, okay, Chris Steiner.
give you the last few minutes. Come on.
All right.
Chris, Hi. Are you there?
I am now. Good morning. Yeah, I just briefly want to mention, fluoride, something I just learned about fluoride, that was able to document that it increases the sexual maturity of girls, of females, and this is a study from the National Academy of Sciences, 531 pages, one of the largest reviews, studies of fluoride. It's entitled Fluoride in Drinking Water, a Scientific Review of EPA Standards from 2006, and just the excerpt reads, sexual maturation in females occurred earlier in the high fluoride animals.
Yeah.
It was an animal study, so I think it's important to call in to, say, progressive talk shows and point out, well, you know, you're against the factory farm foods. They're the ones who are probably behind normalizing this sexual maturity of children, you know, the antibiotics and hormone disruptors in our foods. Well, could it be by design? I mean, they're trying to teach children what they say is age appropriate. Well, what is age appropriate when girls are maturing and growing breasts at developing breasts at 8 years, as young as 8 years old? So, point out that this is, you're calling up the progressive community-sponsored radio stations, that this is something that factory farming is probably behind. We couldn't have been weakened so much to be indoctrinated to take COVID shots without any informed consent if people felt it was normal to just go buy food in the supermarket in the first place without reading or researching the ingredients.
Wow. You know, well, it's interesting to watch the path of those, you know, I don't know how you call it, progressive talk shows. We've got conservative talk shows in my area, Chris, and I listen to them, and I listen to them, you know, during the COVID, and listen to them spew nonsense. And then once in a while, somebody would call in and try to talk some sense to them, and they didn't hear it. But after the COVID was gone, all of a sudden they're like, ah, crap, we were being idiots. I'm going, whoa,
right.
Okay. So,
I've actually, called in a community-sponsored station a couple weeks ago. The Surly Feminists for the Revolution was the name of the show. And persuaded them and got them to agree, but, yeah, we should look at factory foods because, how can they ignore these things lest they be called ableist, and that's a good comeback if they do ignore or dismiss what you're saying.
A lot of them are kind of handcuffed by their their advertisers, right? When they come out and say all that food that you're eating is crap, it literally, what's in it, right? It's a simulant, if anything.
Community sponsored stations, they get part of their funding from government and corporations, so they're not entirely community sponsors. Their allegiances are divided, and that should also be pointed out if they're ignoring what you say. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Okay, take care, Chris, and defund PBS. Do something good for the world. Or, well, maybe defund PBS and fund RBN. Thanks, guys. Alan dropped like clockwork. We're going to play a trick on that and see if we can hold them on a little bit longer next week. Republic of Texas Radio. Have a good day.
Equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.